Thomas Wilhoit, Offerman Woodshop. Nom de guerre, Tony. Bra size, 42C. Fave wood, Eastern red cedar, Juniperus virginiana. Fave tool, pass load cordless framing nailer. Preferred lunch, spicy pork rinds. Card game, rubber bridge. Shop bird, Anna's hummingbird. Favorite polar explorer, Vilhulmer Stephenson. Mustard, Coleman's original English mustard. Corn preference, Silver Queen. Number of work pants, 2 pair. Fave cow breed, Limousin. Rapper DJ name, Big Spicy, as in pork rinds. When Thomas showed up a few summers ago, we were, frankly, circumspect. He seemed a tad too good to be true. His fiance, Jordan, was studying in a USC master's film program, and so he was visiting LA between his junior and senior years at Harvard University, which he explained to me is a college east of the Mississippi. "Ah," I replied, "was that not the alma mater of our 26th president, Theodore Roosevelt?" "The very same," came his response. "Indeed, I thought it rang a bell," I added, with, as my dad would say, the utmost of sargacity. "Kentucky, huh? Might you be familiar with my favorite writer, the magnificent Wendell Berry?" I queried further. Thomas coolly retorted, "I've seen him speak twice." I swallowed audibly. How could I seduce this strapping youngster with the perfect pedigree to stick around our humble shop and lend to us his bucolic knowledge and burgeoning hams? This farm kid from Harvard was in Los Angeles for the summer, and he was bored during the daytimes whilst his beloved attended classes. He had taken it upon himself to seek out a wood shop wherein he might spend his days fruitfully instead of mixing with the hand models and other ne'er-do-wells in West Hollywood. I learned that he sang Gregorian chants, studied medieval history, and had grown up in an excellent family, learning from an early age the ways of forestry and responsibly selective logging, not to mention woodworking and barn building and all the other skills that come to a curious young fellow on a cattle and tobacco farm. He wanted to volunteer his time to us while in town. "Can you hang a door?" I asked. "I can," came his answer. "All right, hang that new door in the shop kitchen today. You can make it plumb and mortise for the hinges and such. You know these things?" "I do." "Okay, I'll look at it tomorrow," I said, before heading up to Burbank to record the voice of a fox in a Disney cartoon, probably. The next day, I looked at the door Thomas had hung. It had a sharply consistent 1/8-inch gap all around. I gently opened it up and then closed it. Its force was finely and heavily balanced, like a massive pendulum. This was a door more befitting a castle on the Isle of Mull than our lowly woodshop. I turned to him with a determined set to my jaw. "I'd like to pay you wages, sir." He reddened. "All right." Thomas of Kentucky, at 22 years of age, could hang a door better than I could today, and that's if you gave me a week to do it. He stuck around, and as luck would have it, his winning lady, now his bride, secured some attractively remunerative work in the City of Angels, and so he has stayed under our roof, learning with no minor speed the ins and outs of fine woodworking, while also rehanging most of the other doors I had installed over the years, as well as some assorted others in the neighborhood. I am not ashamed. If someone is willing to do better work than you can, it would be foolhardy to stand in his or her way. He's intrepid and strong, and he can sing like a bird, a deeply baritone-voiced bird. Thomas is also our main operator on the lathe, cranking out baseball bats and shaving implements with equal aplomb and boy howdy can he eat.